Welcome back to another episode of The Merge Feast. I'm Blake. I'm here with Logan and Brandon, back with episode 2 of season 46. So, welcome back. And I, without even asking, I know how you and Brandon feel about this, Logan. For me, it was another great episode, but I want to switch it up a little bit this week. I want to hear about, like, what was your biggest takeaway or the thing you want to talk about, kind of the big storyline for you in this episode?
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, great episode. So kind of going into the what stood out to me or what I wanted to talk about, I think this episode really highlighted the play of the people this season so far. I feel like we've seen a lot of strategic talk and that side of things, rather than, like, especially early in the season, where previous seasons it took a little while for us to kind of see some of that flourish, and it's been really fun to see. I think it's laying out for an extremely fun and exciting season, but I really noticed that most this episode. It seemed like we had a lot more kind of campfire and chatting rather than more challenges or anything like that. So what about you, Brandon?
What stood out to me the most in this episode was the difference between all three of the tribes as far as, like, how cohesive they are as a tribe, where you have the Siga tribe, who's the green tribe, that, like, they're all cool with each other. They're all happy. There's just, you know, very kumbaya, like, everybody's happy to be there. They're, like, a unified tribe. And Nami, who's been dominating the season, they're mostly unified. There's definitely some fractures and some kind of personality differences going on. So, like, they're kind of the balanced tribe. And then you have the Yanu tribe, purple tribe, that is an absolute mess of a tribe this season and can't seem to get anything right, keep losing, and just don't seem to be on the same page and actively working against each other. So it's really interesting to kind of see that there's, like, one extreme to the other this season. What about you, Blake?
I mean, both of you guys said it really well, but for me, obviously, with the first two episodes being 2 hours, I knew we were going to see more strategy before the merge than ever before. I mean, we saw that last season, and we're seeing even more of that this season. And I love seeing that from every tribe other than just the tribe that's on the bottom, because I feel like in past seasons they would really highlight the tribe that was going to go to tribal, and then you didn't see much of the other tribes. And I really feel like 2 episodes in, really, really getting to know these players. Even though on some level, some of them are still kind of a conundrum, like, you don't really know how they're playing the game, but you're seeing their game develop, which I really, really love. But I don't really love the fact that once again, we have another tribe that seems to be on the bottom consistently. I'm really hoping Yanu, purple tribe, kind of pulls it out and starts getting some wins, makes it a little more even. I really hate when one tribe kind of loses multiple challenges in a row. But the big, big thing for me that I want to talk to you guys about for a little bit is kind of the extra stuff that some of these players are adding in. The kind of banter back and forth between the tribes and the challenge was really interesting to me. We've had now 2 tribals in a row where Yanu has told Jeff that it's time to vote rather than letting Jeff tell them it's time to vote. The fact that the orange tribe put that little buff around the idol. You're just adding a lot more flavor, I guess, is an interesting way to put it, but a lot more of their own little spin on the game, and just kind of adding some extra attitude. And I don't know how I feel about it yet. I definitely don't hate it, but this group is definitely a handful for sure.
Yeah, the little tidbits of extras like you're talking about, of the banter back and forth, I don't dislike it to a point. I think that's always fun, and competitiveness, that's going to bring that out in people. I did think Soda seemed to get a little hot, or kind of go back at the other team at one point a little hard. I think she has a little bit of a firecracker personality, so maybe that's just her, and I think we've seen that a little bit. But like you said, I don't necessarily hate the extra banter or the competitiveness, I guess you could say, back and forth. But I don't know about you, Brandon.
I love the banter back and forth. It's something that's kind of new. And, you know, Nami, talk your talk, because you're backing it up and winning challenges. So I like it.
That's very true.
Very true.
Yeah. If you're going to talk, you got to back it up. So, no, that's a great point. I kept thinking the entire episode, this is going to make for one interesting merge, because like you could have some enemies on the other tribe that you've never even talked to other than just the banter back and forth. I'm just thinking between like Soda and Q, when Soda asked him how the food was, like, dang, she's throwing shade his way or their way. But hey, it's working out for him. So I just think some of that she's, not forward thinking in the fact of like, and we get to the merge, I hope he's going to work with me, but he may not really like me now. So I don't know. Yeah. It'll be interesting for sure.
And it's already having an impact within her own tribe, the way that she's been handling the immunity idol, where she's tried to take it. Well, she's taken it out of Venus's hand, basically ripped it out of her hands twice. So like, not only not being forward thinking, but not, she's also doing things that are kind of impacting her in a negative way in the current portion of the game.
For sure. Let's see. So we started off back at Purple's camp, Yanu, after Tribal last time. And, you know, everybody's just basically talking strategy, trying to figure out where they land. I mean, there was a lot of little things in these moments, but I didn't really feel like there was a ton of major substance other than some individual gameplay that we can get into before the challenge. Did you guys have anything that really stood out to you before we get to the challenge?
Most of what I had was just kind of like fun little moments that I thought were interesting. But there wasn't any like big wow moments for me.
Yeah, same thing. It was just little tidbits of like, oh, that's a funny moment, or like cool stories or different things like that, but nothing like that was major.
The only big thing that stood out to me that might be worth talking about for just a minute is Randon finding the Beware advantage. So that's now, because Yanu found it, what's her name? That found it
Tiffany.
Last episode. Yeah. Tiffany, yep. She found it last episode, and then Randon found it this episode. So we've still got one other Beware advantage out there. And maybe jumping ahead, but Randon loses his vote, but can't find the next step of the Beware advantage until they lose a challenge, correct?
Yeah. Right.
So doesn't have a vote, but it doesn't really matter because they haven't lost. So we can talk a little bit more about his strategy with who he shared that with here in a bit. But if you guys are good with it, let's kind of recap the challenge.
Yeah, let's get into it. So another really physically demanding challenge, which love to see. So just kind of a rundown, and this is just almost verbatim of how Jeff describes it to the cast. So obviously they're in three teams. One person from each tribe is going to race and release a machete. Then they're going to chop a rope, and that rope is going to drop two wheels. They're going to take those two wheels, and they're going to attach them to a cart. And then they're going to dig up two chests and put them on their cart. Then with the chests on the cart, they're going to push that cart through an obstacle course. And at the end, they're going to get some pieces from inside the chest, and they're going to form a massive arch puzzle spelling out the word persistence. And first two teams to solve this puzzle win immunity and reward.
And that reward was fishing gear, a pretty elaborate fishing gear for first place, and then just basically fins and a spear for second place, correct?
Yeah, fins, goggles, and a spear for second place.
This challenge was kind of the ultimate test of teamwork, and it really showcased how well these tribes could work together or not work together in Yanu's case.
Yeah, I mean Yanu's case, but I feel like every single one of the tribes struggled. No matter how good their communication was, or Nami coming together and winning it, or whatever the case may have been, every single tribe struggled like more than I thought they would. Obviously and clearly those boxes were very heavy. But I was shocked at how much the team struggled.
I was too. They, with as down as Yanu got for losing, they were in it the entire time. I mean, I really felt like it was anybody's challenge to win up until the very end. So it was definitely closer than I think they felt like it was, but. So I guess Nami won, Siga got second, and then Yanu lost. I don't know about you guys, but I don't know that I've ever seen a Survivor go to a commercial in the middle of a challenge before.
We were confused about that too. Did it just go on that long, or was it like were they cliffhanging something? It was weird.
It felt like it was going on for a while, but I don't know. I didn't hate it. It was just really different, and I was not expecting that at all.
Kind of threw me off. We obviously never see that, and just I don't know if it was maybe up against the hour or what was going on there, but
I don't know. Maybe they were trying to make us think that Nami was going to fail. I don't know. But definitely interesting.
For sure. No, but I'm like you. It was a really good challenge and a great test of not just the physical strength, but the strategy and teamwork, because down to five people, you had to really be strategic on how to hold those blocks up. I mean, it was not easy by any means, strategically or physically. And I don't know. It was a really fun one. And I feel like we've seen bits and pieces of that challenge before, but all laid out together. It was just as physical as that 500-pound gecko, I think.
Yeah. And a funny moment in this challenge was Nami completed the arch at one point, and the word that they were trying to spell out was persistence. But they accidentally spelled Pezeristance. And it reminded me of last season during individual immunity challenges where they did the arch block challenge, and it was on a much smaller scale. But I can't remember the word that it was supposed to be, but Austin completed the arch, and it was literally just gibberish on the backside of it.
Yeah, I remember that. I don't remember what the word was either, but that's the tricky part with that, of making sure the words align on the front and the back. Whenever you're just putting it together and like, oh, this goes here, like making sure you look at both sides, it puts it to another level.
For sure. Did you guys find it funny that the same person set out on two tribes?
I loved that.
What's her name? So it's Liz, and what was the other girl's name?
Liz and Mariah. And it's funny, like, I had been confusing them through the first two episodes anyway, so that was great.
That was funny. I did find myself not necessarily being a fan of Liz this episode.
He was quite annoying during the challenge.
Honestly, this episode and last episode. Stop talking about how rich you are.
Right.
What are you doing?
Yeah, not a good move. But I guess it's working out so far, but it's probably the fact that she's on a tribe that continues to win.
Yeah.
But yeah, she just kept yelling, Nami, 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 Nami. I was like, oh my God, shut up.
It's funny. I didn't actually hear her until the end when she was like, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Like, she was Barack Obama or something.
Did you guys think at the end of the challenge that Yanu was being a little kind of unnecessary or kind of mean towards Jess?
I would say the entire back half of the episode was completely unnecessary towards Jess.
Mm-hmm. I thought she and everybody else struggled, and for them to yell at just her was completely unnecessary. And not necessarily yelling at her, but like just showing frustration. I think she did what she could. And then, like you said, the back half of the episode, it seemed like everybody was almost picking on her in a way. And I really hated to see it, because I liked Jess. I thought she was starting to kind of come around and show her true self, but just obviously too little too late there.
Yeah, and yeah, we can get into it. Like, Banu literally screaming at her at the challenge. Come on, man. I know he's an emotional guy, but pull it together. And also, like, if you're going to vote her out, just vote her out. We don't have to do this fake idol humiliation thing.
Yeah. Everybody's just so scared of the shot in the dark. But the fact that that's only worked, what, two, maybe three times?
It's technically worked twice. It's been effective twice. Once.
So it's like, man, it seems like you're just, I don't know, kicking somebody while they're down a little bit by giving them a fake idol and giving them fake hope.
Yeah.
And it makes for interesting TV, I guess. But and she seemed to take it really well. Spoiler, I guess. Got voted out. But she seemed to take it really well. But I just didn't love that play. I don't know.
I didn't either. And, you know, you already said, you know, not to kick her while she's down. But not to kick her while she's down. Like, for me, there was nothing that she had done in the first 5 days of the game that made me feel like she had the strategic chops to even consider playing a shot in the dark.
Yeah.
So I would just vote her out outright and be done with it. I didn't like it. It was just, it felt kind of mean girl, just bully behavior, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, not just the idol, but the way they were talking about her. I mean, they...
Behind her back, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they... And Banu as well, but the three of them, Q, Tiffany, and Kinsey, I mean, flat out said, we're the only three that know anything about this game. And, you know, Jess is kind of an idiot. And I don't know, it just seemed mean... and just, I don't know, not, yeah, yeah, I don't know. I was very put off by it.
It was not a good look for most of the Yanu tribe tonight. For like a bunch of people that I was excited about last week, I was kind of like, shying away from it this week because I'm like, ooh, I feel kind of gross, like, after hearing what you guys are saying and doing.
The only one that had a little bit of saving grace for me was Q, because he at least considered using that to his advantage to blindside Kenzie. But
Anu messed that up, obviously, so right. We'll get into that later, but
for sure.
But yes, I would agree with that. I think Q did have some moments in this episode that were actually positive. I think the fake idol could have been played out differently or whatever, but he did definitely have some highlights.
Well, let's jump into tribal, and then while we're on Yanu, and then afterwards, let's go back and talk about some of the other tribes as well. So tribal, I think before we got to tribal, I felt like it was Kenzie versus Jess, and it didn't seem to play out that way. Did you guys get that same feeling, or did I totally misread that?
That's, no, I got the same feeling.
Agreed.
And then obviously Banu totally made himself a target. He does not know when to stop talking. And even though I picked him to win, he better calm down on his passion and his just emotions if he's going to figure that out, because I worry about it.
Yeah. And like you said, that's, if that's who he is, that's great. And if I think being able to show your emotions, like he said, is a powerful thing. But like Q said, being able to hold that in at the time that you need to better your game and the people that you're talking to, and strategic wise, you've got to learn how to do that, because he literally is just telling everybody what's going on. Literally everything's out on the table.
I couldn't have said it better. People are not going to want to work with you, because you're literally just showing your cards for two tribals in a row.
You could see that in Q's eyes during tribal. He was like, dude, come on. Like, no. You're not going to have anybody that's going to want to work with you unless you figure that out. And if they continue to lose, I think he's next to go because of that.
For sure. What did you guys think of Banu getting up? And it wasn't like a full live tribal where everybody was moving around talking, but he kind of did that just for himself. I almost thought that that was going to be the straw that broke the camel's back and got him voted out, but it obviously worked out. But what'd you guys think of that?
He definitely thought he was going home, I think. Just based off, because he had that big, like, just emotional outburst that felt like he was kind of out of left field.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, as you said, like, asking people, like, what are we voting? I don't know what he was doing.
Yeah, I don't think he played the tribal right, and I don't know. He's a question mark for me right now.
I kept thinking throughout this entire episode, and specifically at tribal, but Yanu is full of some strong players, emotionally, physically, strategically. But maybe like too strong, where they're just not able to work together and they don't see eye to eye on a lot of things.
There's too many leaders.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I kind of think Q and Tiffany are going to run away with it. I have a hard time believing that they're going to split up and one of them pick Kenzie. I think they kind of see what game she's playing. But I don't know.
There's a part of me that feels like, I know, Logan, you said that Banu could be next. There's a part of me that feels like if they go back to tribal that Kinsey's next, just based off of the conversation that Q and Tiffany had about Kenzie in this episode.
I could see that. And with you saying that, it brings back that kind of conversation they had. And Q was obviously wanting to vote out Kinsey. So if they go back, because he obviously was going to have Banu on his side this week, if it would have went to plan. So I could definitely see Kinsey going home. But I also think that all, and obviously depends on if they go to tribal, but how does Banu react? What does he blow it again? You know, that's just the unknown.
Kinsey's just so good strategically and so good, like socially, that definitely concerns me, but I hope that they see that. And in my opinion, the only threat bigger in the merge than the strong player that's going to win individual immunity over and over again is an overly emotional player. And so I almost hope that Tiffany and Q will keep Banu around as, you know, hey, Q can pitch it as he's also a guy and is also fairly strong, but he's emotional and erratic. So people are going to want to take him out before they take me because I'm sturdy in what I say and I'm a little more strategic, I guess, and emotionally sound. So I hope that gets Banu to the merge, but I don't know. We'll see.
What I hope happens with Banu is I hope that Q does for Banu exactly what Caleb did for Emily last season and say, because this was through two votes where we thought, you know, Emily was going to be gone. And we never have thought Banu was going to be gone. But same situation where we're like, what is this guy doing? I hope Q is like, hey, man, we want you to be here, but you got to tighten it up a little bit if we want to make a run. I hope that happens.
I could see him doing that. I hope he does as well. I could absolutely see him do it, though.
Were you guys happy that it was Jess?
I was like, Jess made the most sense. I wasn't necessarily happy about how it happened, but from just like a, it makes the most sense from a strategic standpoint. Like, yes, I was happy with it.
I'm the same way there. I think strategically it was the right move, but on the flip side, the way it happened and the way the team was kind of in a way picking on her and all, I wish it would have happened a different way.
Yeah, I don't know why I was really hoping that Kinsey was going to go home over Jess. And maybe it was just me rooting for the underdog a little bit, because normally I could see myself really liking Kinsey and how she's playing, because she's playing really well. But I don't know. I found myself rooting for Jess over Kinsey. But
yeah. I was kind of in the same way, but I feel like the reason I was like that, because like we talked about earlier, we don't typically see big moves or blindsides or anything like that this early, because it's typically not being talked about, or that's not been established yet. And so,
what are you talking about? Jelinski was blindsided.
Oh my goodness.
He got several votes.
That's right. But in that instance, like, we don't see that this early, so it was exciting to see some of that this early. And so I found myself even almost rooting to have her voted off because of that. But like you said, I think the way she's playing the game, it could be very exciting, and she's playing it very well so far. Just depends on if she can make it.
For sure. Well, unless you guys have anything else about the Purple Tribe, Yanu, let's hop back into some of the other tribes and talk about the dynamics and the strategy going on there, if you guys are good with that.
Yep.
All right, let's do, Nami, the Orange Tribe. Mm-hmm. So we've got, who do we have on that tribe? We've got Venus, Hunter, Liz, Randon, Soda, and Tevin.
Right.
So it started out with Venus and kind of her feeling like she was on the outs, which she kind of did to herself a little bit last episode. But kind of same way as I was feeling before, is like, I didn't really like how Soda was treating her in the challenge. And I started to feel a little bit bad for her just as nobody was talking to her. So I was really happy to see that Randon chose to share that Beware advantage with Venus. So I'm kind of excited about the two of them working together. I hope that they work together well, but I don't know. I was pretty excited about that one.
Yeah, I was in the same boat as you. As I definitely felt bad for her with people not talking to her, just the way they were around her. So I thought Randon going to her, sharing that with her, that duo could be fun to watch if they continue that.
Yeah, she's definitely smart enough to make it pretty far, just whether or not she can kind of keep her emotions in check as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think it'll be interesting because, like, first off, I mean, I don't even know if Nami's ever going to go to Tribal because they're just dominating, but, like, from the dynamics, like, there's, like, people seem kind of indifferent about Liz, and then Venus probably just needs to do, like, a little bit of, like, damage control, and I feel like she'd probably be fine. I know her and Tevin don't really see eye to eye in Soda, but I think it's just a personality clash that they just need to like get past.
Mm-hmm. That tribe has so much personality on it that it's going to be hard for them to figure that out. But if they could, then yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, especially looking at the scenes from next episode, where Venus seems to be going in hard on Hunter and how he seems like this just good old boy and she can see right through it. So I don't know. I hope that it's not Randon and Venus on the bottom. And even if he gets an extra vote, you know, with that Beware advantage, or I don't know if it's an extra vote or if it'll be,
just an idol, I think.
An idol, you know, whatever that advantage might be, it's still going to put them down at least one, if not two votes. So we'll see on that. Anything else on Nami?
I don't think so. I think they've obviously had the, not the easiest path, but the best path with winning everything. So they haven't had to do a ton of strategizing quite yet because of not having to go to Tribal. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how some of that kind of lays out as they have to go to Tribal.
What did you guys think of after the challenge, Venus kind of being all bent out of shape about getting her toe run over? Like, did she have a point? Because for me, I was like, you got banged up in a challenge. So did everybody else. Why are you making a big deal out of it?
I'm with you. Seemed a little dramatic, a little woe is me. However, the fact that you had the first half of the episode where nobody talked to her other than Randon, and the last two challenges, Soda tried to rip or basically ripped the immunity idol from her hands. Feeling on the bottom, it's like, man, nobody's listening to me. Nobody's talking strategy with me. You know, Jeff hands it to me and I don't even get to hold it. And not that I want it for myself, but you know, it just, the people who don't seem to like me at all anyway rip it from my hands. I don't know. I could see why she was in her feels a little bit, but I mean, it was a little dramatic, I thought. I don't know.
I was going to say the same thing, Blake, is I thought she had some dramaticness to it, but I think it was just an accumulation of not being talked to just feeling like she was out and out on the outs and all of that, and just kind of all spewed out and came out that way. Definitely a little dramatic, though, in my opinion. But
I was actually kind of proud of her for talking to Soda about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not impressed. I'm just not impressed by Soda much at all right now. The way she was kind of clapping back at Q, which I'm okay with a little bit, but I don't know, just seemed to get a little personal, and then ripping the idol from her hands. Like, I don't know. She's just not the most friendly, welcoming person, and not that, you know, Venus is either, but Soda just seemed to take some of that a little personal and like call her out on it. And I don't know. I don't really love that dynamic right now.
Yeah, they definitely seem to, you know, not all be on the same page at camp, but when it comes down to like taking care of business at challenges, they all understand what needs to be done.
For sure.
And I guess that's all you need, though. If you can stay out of tribal, then let's keep it going, I guess.
Sure. And it's easy to get along with people when, you know, when you're winning. So
yeah, absolutely.
Well, what about, is it Nami? No, not Nami. Siga. What stood out to you with them?
They are definitely the most cohesive tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And just seem to be having the most fun around each other and being able to enjoy each other's company. There doesn't seem to be any rifts between any of the players that I've noticed.
Yeah, and I haven't noticed really anything either, like riff wise, but I think their play, not playfulness, but like being able to be happy, and just their camaraderie throughout the camp, it's been a lot of fun to watch. So they definitely have the most of that.
Yeah, I was a little worried that Maria was gonna kind of rub people the wrong way just with how she was last episode, but she seemed to really dial it back and be strategic, but not too over the top. And I definitely agree. And I don't know about you guys, but I really like the fact of Charlie and Maria teaming up together.
What did you think of the Malcolm and Denise comparison? I thought that was a pretty good comparison.
For sure. And it could work too, because they're both like, I would have never picked them to be together. I think it could work really well.
That was definitely on one of my highlights of I liked them together and them coming together. I think that'll be a fun alliance to watch.
I mean, yeah. The best part of the episode was actually involved the Siga tribe for me, and it was the Ben versus Charlie Metallica versus Taylor Swift. How many songs can you name? And Charlie was, he's a Swiftie, and Ben likes Metallica, and they just took turns naming songs from those artists, and Charlie won 108 to 106.
He got one last one in there at the very end, but yeah, it was I thought that was hilarious. And as it kept going, I was like, all right, how many are they going to, and fast forward and 60, fast forward 100, like, holy, like, I wonder how long that actually took.
Yeah, I don't know, but
it was impressive. If Taylor Swift doesn't fly him out to a concert now, I'm going to be very disappointed.
You really got to love an artist or a band to be able to name over 100 of their songs. That's what I know.
Absolutely.
Jeez.
And it was impressive on the Taylor Swift side, but also the Metallica side. Because I mean, I don't know that I could have named three Metallica songs, and I enjoy Metallica. I don't know that I could have named five Taylor Swift songs, and I enjoy Taylor Swift. But it almost gave me a like old school versus new school kind of battle. It's like Metallica and Taylor Swift, and I don't know. It was definitely fun
for Ben, like, to be able to name that many Metallica songs, because he even was like, I don't even like half of their albums, and he was still just naming them.
Sorry to jump back, but did we talk about Liz and her kind of rubbing people the wrong way with how she was talking about how much money she has and no guy wanting to date her? Did we talk about that?
We kind of glossed over the money thing, but yeah, let's get into it.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I just don't think that strategy is going to work. I feel like I would vote somebody out because, hey, you don't need the money. Everybody else needs the money. Like, why would you be here? But we've seen in past seasons where, you know, ex-NFL players make it fairly far, even though they don't necessarily need the money. And gosh, what episode was it that was it Gabler gave away the money? So I guess it could work, but calm down on the I'm so rich, I don't need it kind of deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The thing about like Gabler, I don't think he was like outwardly like, I'm wealthy. Like where she's like just kind of flaunting it almost, like almost asking to be voted out. Because for me, it's like, what's your motivation for even being out here? Because mine's to win $1 million. You've pretty much said you don't need that. So why are you here?
Yeah, definitely not a smart way to play in my mind.
Just a little bit of an arrogant personality.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys like this episode being 2 hours?
Yes, but no. So yes, I always enjoy more Survivor. I will never turn down more Survivor. But I do think they should have or could have had another challenge in there. I thought the first half of the episode seemed like it kind of drug by a little bit. And think if they would have had another reward challenge or something like that, then it would have been that much better. But
yeah, I thought that or the journey.
Yeah, absolutely.
A good thing to throw in there, but I don't know. It seemed to drag out a little bit. I liked it because you got to see so much strategy talk, but I don't know.
I didn't mind it. I didn't mind one challenge because I love the challenges, but I could sit there and watch 3 hours of them on the beach talking strategy and just kind of watching the camp life. That is so, for me, like, more interesting than the challengers or their journeys are.
It's definitely a side of Survivor that we haven't gotten to see enough of. So I don't necessarily disagree. I do enjoy it, but and it helped that the challenge was excessively long. Not excessively. It seemed like it was longer just with that commercial thrown in the mix. So I think it worked out okay, but 2 hours might be a little much for the remainder of the season, which it sounds like next episode they're going back to 1.5 hours.
Yeah, and I think Amazing Race is coming back.
Yep, Amazing Race starts next week with 1.5 hour episodes as well.
Yep. Well, let's see. What else do we have? Do we want to keep up with the Survivor of the Week?
I like it if you guys are both down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's keep doing it. I think it's a good segment.
All right, I'm going to go first this time.
Ooh, switching it up on us, eh?
Yep, I am. So, before we do that, I actually wanted to talk about Tiffany for a second. We got off of Yanu, and I thought the moment of her when she was really vulnerable, and crying after the challenge when they got back to the beach. And the way she explained herself that, like, I don't want to be known as somebody who loses their cool and is emotional or hot-headed. And it seemed like that is what bothered her the most, not just from a game perspective, but as like a personal thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to be known as that. And I'm better than that. And then thinking further into the game that, hey, there's people on the other tribes that I haven't even said a word to yet. And then now they're going to see me as that. I think she might be overthinking it a little bit, but I thought it was a really cool moment for her. And she earned a lot of respect from me in that moment.
Banu said, hold my beer. Yeah, I agree that to be able to be vulnerable like that and kind of show that restraint and recognize that is huge. All jokes aside.
So that being said, I'm between two, but I think I'm going to go with Q. So Q has landed on the right side of the votes every single time so far through two episodes. He's kind of playing both sides a little bit, but he's setting himself up pretty well strategically, I think. He's in pretty good with Tiffany. Seems like he is going to be in pretty good with Banu. Was in well with Jess, even though he ended up voting her out. But I feel like he could have made that switch if he needed to. I don't know. For me, he just seems to be playing really well. And he was my survivor of the week.
I'm going to go Ben from Siga Tribe. I know it's kind of a weird pick, but this is just 2 weeks in a row where it's very obvious to me that he's kind of the glue that is holding the Siga Tribe together. He kind of brings the energy, and I know he hasn't done anything from a game standpoint that's been like really a big wow factor, but just who he has as a person seems like somebody that is very easy to root for. So that's why he's my pick this week.
I like it.
I like that one. For me, I think I was kind of in between two people. One of the one that I kind of was gearing towards was going to be Q as well, Blake. I don't necessarily want to pick the same person. So for me this week, I'm going to choose Randon. I think
that's who I was between two.
I think having the advantage, obviously hasn't completed it yet, to have a full immunity idol. But for him to get that and have the opportunity to get an immunity idol puts him at that next step above everybody else, because nobody else has that opportunity. So if he can complete it and keep his vote and continue on and have that in his back pocket, could absolutely help him throughout the remainder of the game.
Yeah, that's who I was between as well. And that I think he's setting himself up really well. Well, hopefully, anyway, because he's probably the person I like the most on that tribe so far. So, well, unless you guys have anything else, I think that is it for me. It was two episodes in and another start to a wonderful season. And I'm looking forward to next week.
Yeah, I am excited for next week to see what it brings. And this season has been off to a great start. I think off to a better start than last season with nobody quitting yet. So let's continue that, and excited for what's to come.
Yeah, and just a reminder before we get out of here, all of our episodes are now being released onto YouTube. So if YouTube is how you prefer to take in your podcast, the Merch Feast is available on there moving forward. So look for it. And if you listen to us on Spotify, Apple, or wherever, give us a rating. That helps us a lot. So, you know, give us a rating, give us a review. We'd love to see what you have to say. We'll see you next week.